And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Santa Barbara and Ventura Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is public-private. All of my guests are discussing topics that are either public or private. My next guest goes public with the billion-dollar ideas he discovered lurking in the minds of middle American businessmen. We'll discuss what he learned from his book, How They Did It, Billion-Dollar Insights from the Heart of America. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Robert Jordan is a CEO, an Inc. 500 CEO, who founded and published Online Access, the first internet coverage magazine in the world. After selling Online Access, Robert launched two companies, Red Flash, which is an interim management team, and Interim Coach and Interim CFO, the worldwide network for interim contract and project executives. Robert received his bachelor's degree with honors from the College of the University of Michigan and his MBA from the Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University. Joining us from Chicago. Hi, Bob. How are you today?
Great, Bill. Thanks so much for having me on your show.
Well, thank you for being our guest. I always love to talk to thought leaders, especially successful businessmen such as yourself, who has started and sold one company and now started two others as well. One of your goals in writing the book, How They Did It, you stated as you wanted to emulate the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. What is it about Think and Grow Rich that you wanted to capture in your book, How They Did It?
I just thought it was amazing that Napoleon Hill had access to Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, Andrew Carnegie, and I think in total 500 other leaders. I just thought that was so amazing.
Yes, it was.
That he was able to talk to them and learn more about how they did what they were doing.
Yeah. And so in what ways is your book similar to and different from Think and Grow Rich?
It's similar in that I talk to these titans of industry. It is different in that I don't draw any conclusions in the book. The book originally started out just as a book of quotes. Then it expanded into a question and answer like Studs Terkel would have done. But I wanted it to be in the words, you know, exactly of these founders without anyone interpreting them. And that's in the end what they were interested in, presenting their words directly.
And that, I think you did a faithful job of replicating that in the book. So I think that that is good. Now, how did you decide the business owners that you were going to interview? I mean, why did you choose business leaders from the heartland of America? Why not go to New York or Los Angeles or even Silicon Valley or Miami to talk to business leaders there?
Well, it's a great question. The criteria to get interviewed in the book is that a founder had to start from nothing. They had to start from scratch, launch, grow, sell a company for $100 million or more, or go public for $300 million or more.
Wow.
So it was pretty hard. It was a high hurdle. The reason why the heartland, as we would say, is we have a little chip on our shoulder here, which is that everyone thinks technology can only be done in Silicon Valley, and I didn't agree with that. And I figured, well, the best proof is, can we find some good examples?
Well, it's interesting, Bob, because to hit your hurdle of the types of business owners that you wanted to interview, you had to have access to good information about their companies, about the size of their companies, and, of course, the sale of their company. How did you go about researching and finding that and just culling down the list of potential business owners?
It's a great question. It took 4 years.
Wow.
It took 4 years and approximately 100 volunteers to find these people. You know, a public company, of course, it's public information, but the private companies, incredibly hard. In a lot of cases, these are very shy and even reclusive people, and it took a long time.
I bet it did. We're talking to Robert Jordan, author of the book, How They Did It, Billion Dollar Insights from the Heart of America. And it's a fascinating book filled with all kinds of quotes and everything else. Bob, the tagline for your book is interesting to me as well. It's your book's tagline is $41 billion worth of inspiration. Now, if that doesn't get your attention, I don't know what will. But how and why do you feel business people need inspiration today?
You know, Bill, it's so hard. You when you try to create something from nothing, you're always hitting hurdles. You're always facing obstacles. I mean, if it was easy, everybody would have done it. And I just thought, you know, we all need a little shot of courage occasionally, and that was the big purpose in the book. And that, frankly, is what convinced these founders to do it. You know, they've all kind of already made their mark in the world. And I said, you know, we have an obligation. You can do something with your legacy here to help the next generation of entrepreneurs coming up. And that resonated with them.
I can imagine that it did. It also didn't hurt that you had street cred, as they say, having started Online Access and then having sold the company yourself. So let's start with your credibility. Let's start with Online Access. Tell us a little bit about what it was like for you starting literally from nothing at the boom of the Internet age, kind of on the leading edge of the Internet age, until you sold the company. How did that ride go for you?
I wish I would have started at the boom, Bill. I started before dot-coms had come into existence, and I just thought that online was going to be big. At the time when I started, there were only these big commercial online services. There was no Internet. It turned into the Internet after we had been in business about 5 years, and then I could do no wrong.
I see.
So the start of it was a struggle, and in the end, it was the easiest ride in the world.
Okay, well, let's talk about the struggle, because that's what many of my listeners are going through right now, and they could really take heart, no pun intended, from what you could teach them from the heartland there. So you were competing against AOL and Prodigy at the days when they were the closed network systems that were out there, and you believe very heavily in the Internet, or what became the Internet, and that digital was the way to go. First of all, how and why were you so convinced that that was the way to go, and then how did you begin forming your own idea of what Online Access was to be?
Well, you know your history. Actually, AOL, Prodigy, Genie, CompuServe, those were our customers. Those were our advertisers. And in a way, you know, you could say they were the big losers at the end of the day because the Internet took over. We wanted to serve all of those audiences, and we were kind of the only game in town. Now, being the only game in town in the beginning was not an advantage because a lot of advertisers couldn't figure out who we were. In the end, we looked like the granddaddy in the business, and it was great because we had so much credibility. The way I describe it, though, is any mistake you can make in business, I made it. And luckily, I didn't have a lot of competition to take advantage of my just completely naive getting into business. I think a lot of people getting in business start out naive, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there probably isn't. Now, one of your interviewees that you have in your book says, and I'm quoting now, "I believe you need to start with a passion, not with an exit strategy." So clearly you had the passion going into that. But let's talk about the exit strategy, because after a while, as you said, the Internet caught up to you, and then you were on this tidal wave of growth that landed you on the Inc. 500 list. How did you know, you're passionate about this, you're excited about the business. How did you then decide what your exit strategy was going to be, because you still had the high level of passion for what you were doing?
Well, start to finish, we were in that business for 10 years. So over that amount of time, you really get the lay of the land. In my case, I started learning who the potential buyers were, who were major publishing companies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in most cases, most businesses, it is not an overnight success story. It does take a lot of time, and you get to know who the likely players are. If in fact the business is not going to be an IPO, but you do have this intention to sell it, that it kind of shakes out who the people are who you should be getting to know. And that was true in my case. I learned from a lot of big publishers.
Okay, so you had the model of the publishers to look at, but some of the businesses that you have in your book may not have either had that foresight or been in the same business. So how did they come up and develop their exit strategies for getting out of the book? Because getting out at a certain price level, I think you said $300 million, was one of the criteria that you had to have to be in the book in the first place.
Most of them, Bill, it's interesting that they don't think in terms of exit strategy. About half of the companies that we talked to, so there's 45 founders, and about half of them went public. And I'd say in most cases, they did not want to sell. They wanted to just keep on doing what they were doing. There's another quote in the book from one of the founders who said, he said, "True entrepreneurship is not money-driven." I think there is a money drive, but first there's this desire that these people had to solve a problem in the world. And when they spotted that problem, that's what created passion. And that passion is what got them past all of the hurdles, all the obstacles.
Oh, very cool. We're talking to Robert Jordan, author of the book, How They Did It, Billion Dollar Insights from the Heartland of America. Now, Robert, in your book, it's very inspirational because of the really true, gritty sort of comments that you get from these successful business owners. And one of the interviews gave the following advice. He said, I always tell three things to founders of companies. First, you need to put your whole heart and soul into it. Second, no one is going to solve your problem except you. And third, it's going to take a lot longer than you expect. You need to count on at least 10 years. And for you at Online Access, that was true. Now, was that a revelation for you that it takes about 10 years for a company to really become what you might call an overnight success?
It is. It's not, you know, when you're at the start of that journey, you may not want to necessarily hear it's going to take that long. The quote that you're referring to, Andrew Parkinson, he's mm-hmm. the co-founder with his brother of Peapod. It was the first online grocery shopping service, and it did take him that long. You hear a good idea and you think, oh, this is so obvious, it's instantly going to take off. All these things take some time to mature. It's very rare to actually see a business like Groupon, and the co-founder of Groupon's in the book, but it's very rare to see something like that under, say, 3 years can hit $1 billion level in sales.
Sure. I mean, after all, Bob, that's what makes it newsworthy, is that it did it so very, very fast. Now, you yourself are kind of a serial entrepreneur because you got out of Online Access and then you went into Red Flash. So tell us about Red Flash. What exactly and how did you decide to start a company with two very divergent goals?
I love working with entrepreneurs, and I really decided that in some cases I was a great founder. In other cases, I should work with great founders. So I started Red Flash as a way to form a team around me to be able to help early stage companies. And we've had some good successes over the years. And so I just find that that's the perfect thing for me. It's a great mix.
And so what sort of early stage businesses are you looking at with Red Flash?
The one that we just finished up was a solar company. Called PV Powered, and just a wonderful manufacturer of inverters, and just a wonderful success story that basically in 1 year, this past year, has gone from $10 to $100 million in sales.
Wow. I mean, that's so catching.
That was nice to help them.
Oh, that's definitely catching the wave. Now, how big do you think, or how do you reckon the size of the market for interim CEOs and CFOs is in this country?
It's a great question. This is very well established in Europe. The interim function for executives is well known. There is a lot of outsourcing that we all know about, and that's even hit this senior level of executives. My estimate is that worldwide this is an audience of about 100,000 people.
Wow.
We're at 2,000 members, so we've got a ways to go.
Yeah, you're at about 2% of what you estimate the entire market is. We're talking to Robert Jordan, author of the book, How They Did It, and also a successful entrepreneur in his own right. Now, when you go with Red Flash and you want to talk to a company, you've got to sell them on the concept of interim management to begin with. How do you approach them, and what tact do you take with them in order to get them to bring you on?
It's easy because what they're looking for, what these entrepreneurs and company owners want, is someone who is going to be in their corner on their side. And that's the way we come in. We don't come in like some outside service that, you know, has 50 other projects going on at the same time. We come in, take on a fiduciary responsibility, which means really taking responsibility for what we're doing. And that resonates with the owners.
I bet that it does. Let's return back to the book, if we can, for just a minute, because I think it's fascinating that you interviewed all of these CEOs of successful companies right there in the heartland of America. After doing all of that research, Bob, what one or two stories stand out in your mind as the most memorable or the most significant?
My favorite story, Bill, by far, is Raj Soin. He started a company in Ohio called MTC with his wife for $1,700. And just to so you know the end of the story, he sold it to a company called BAE for $425 million.
Ow.
But I asked him the question during the interview, did you hit any challenges and he started laughing and he said, well, payroll. And he said there came a day, his wife was his controller, and he couldn't meet payroll, and she came into his office crying, and I said, what did you do? And he never really answered the question. And he said, a couple months after this crisis, he went into a manager's office. He looked down at the guy's desk. He was talking to him, and he saw all these uncashed paychecks in his drawer. And he asked the manager, why didn't you cash your paychecks? And the guy said, I saw that day when your wife was crying. I realized you couldn't meet payroll, and I just figured you're good for it. And
wow.
When he told me that story, I thought, you know, this is such a powerful example of loyalty that it really, this is a story that aspiring entrepreneurs need to hear.
Oh, that is incredible. That's a very moving story. It actually made the hair on my arm stand up when you told that, Bob. Now, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, How They Did It?
I would say the first thing is that to be successful, don't try avoiding failure. You really have to take that leap. You have to go for it. I know it's a cliche in our culture, but in fact, most of us, most of the time, we don't take that leap, and it is necessary if you want to be successful. One of the founders put it to me so well. He said, we all try to avoid failing, and that is not a way to achieve success.
Hmm.
You have to take that leap.
I would agree with that. Bob, what did you get out of writing this book personally?
Well, I got my own jolt of courage for my own companies and businesses. There was just so much great stuff coming out of this. I mean, one of the other things, Bill, was being able to observe all these founders and to see how lacking they were in cynicism. It just wasn't a cynical crowd. They were so curious about everything going on and just not cynical about the world. And I thought, you know, this is a better way to be. Just be curious about things, and that's the way to spot opportunities.
That is. That's very important information and a great lesson to learn there. Now, Robert, before I let you go, many of the listeners listening to the sound of our voice right now are in business themselves. They're either working for somebody or they might even have their own small business. What one practical idea can you give my listeners that they could put to work immediately from your book, How They Did It?
Well, I'll tell you one great story from one of the founders, Varesh Bhatia and Stallshield, was to advertise. I think a lot of people hold back on this idea and they figure, well, I'll just have one more meeting, one more lunch. And this little tiny software company became dominant just from deciding to run some ads, and they insisted they had to run opposite IBM and Microsoft. So that was back when magazines were big, but you can duplicate that strategy on Google or on Facebook. So my one piece of advice, start looking at advertising, even at a low level.
Oh, that is great advice. Our guest has been Robert Jordan, author of the book, How They Did It, Billion Dollar Insights from the Heart of America. Bob, if people are really intrigued by what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, maybe learn more about Red Flash or your book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
They can go to the website howthedidit.com or they can go to redflash.com.
Redflash.com or howthedidit.com. Bob, it has been a true delight. Thank you for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.